Welcome to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. For those of you that are watching the podcast instead of listening, I'm sure you will recognise this guest needs no introduction. Big GK Barry.
Barry in the house.
I thought you said Barry in the house. Oh my God. Okay. Do you know what, actually? I put on the Girls Know Nothing Instagram about who they think my next guest will be. Yeah. And you were the number one guest.
I love that. So I'm in demand. Love it.
You actually are. And I'm really excited to have you for this episode.
My legs are spread. I don't know why that just came out my mouth.
Apologies, because this room is really hot and I'm sweating out of every pore of
my
body.
I'm loving it. I feel like I'm losing weight while I speak.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, it's businesswoman on the go.
Yeah, you know.
I'm trying to keep it lighthearted because I know you're feeling nervous about a really businessy, serious conversation.
No, I am. This is not me.
Well, I felt the same when I was doing your podcast, to be fair. Yeah. So I was like, oh no, like what can, like, because I don't care about saying certain things in a private room, but when there's a camera and
it's stressful.
Number one podcast in the UK, you're just like very aware that people are listening.
Yeah, it does happen.
But, well, I bloody hope so. Right? So like, let's start off, obviously, GK Barry, 2.2 million on TikTok.
2.3 since yesterday.
Oh, my deepest apologies.
No, it's fine. It happens.
So I want to go back to the beginning of how GK Barry kind of began. So I did a bit of Googling on you.
Love that.
That was my little porn for the week. So obviously,
a hard wank.
Well, yeah, multiple times. Anyway, yeah. Let's move on from that. When I Googled you.
Yeah.
Found out that GK Barry, obviously, I've always known you as, well, GK, but GK is your initials.
Yeah.
Barry is your friend's surname.
Yeah.
And I saw that it's because you didn't want people to find your TikTok.
The irony. And also, like, all companies that I work with just call me Grace Barry. None of them know my name. Literally none of them.
So why did you not want people to find your TikTok?
I knew my stuff was going to be really embarrassing, and everything I do, I always think I'm going to look back at what I'm doing right now in a year and really cringe. So I was like, I'd rather cringe by myself. So I thought, if no one can find it, that will be fine. No one from my area, because people from my area, I'm not going to lie, can be knobheads. So I thought, I'm not getting bullied 2.0. So, yeah.
But now you get to cringe with 2.3 million people.
Yeah,
instead.
Now I just get reminded of how embarrassing I am every day. So
how did
cons.
You go from not wanting anyone to know about your TikTok channel to then all of a sudden being like one of the biggest names in British TikTok and then commercializing it?
I feel like when I got to a certain point, I'm trying to think of what follower count that I got to where I was a bit like, oh, I don't care anymore, like maybe 100K. I remember I started in March. Lockdown 20, okay. So what was that, 2020?
Yeah.
And then I hit 100K in the August. And then I literally was like, you know what? I don't care. And then I was just like, I'll just grow it from here. But I never really took it seriously until I quit my job in that December. Was it that December? Yeah, that December I quit my job and started doing it full time. But I only had 200K. Ballsy move. Don't know what I was
only
doing there.
200K is a lot.
No, but like when it comes to TikTok and like money making, that was literally piss all. Like I was not, I wouldn't have been making money. So I don't know why I did that. But it paid off because it meant I put all my time into TikTok.
Well, yeah. I mean, so when I was Googling you as well, your name came up in Forbes, which I think is pretty big.
So random.
Even though you didn't know what Forbes was originally.
No, I was like, Forbes. Cool. Then Hannah was like, no, that's really cool. And I was like, cool.
Like, I think you were the only British name to come up in Forbes in that
was
article.
I?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And I wasn't sure it was you that made that comment, to be honest, because it sounded so serious. But
no, I did that interview. I think it was something about how TikTok's now a career, like in how times are changing, whatever, TikTok's a career. And I answered some questions, but they put it a lot more formal. Then I answered it 100%.
Do you think that maybe because you're like, do you find that because you're a TikTok comedian and you're like funny all of the time on TikTok, that maybe people don't take you seriously in a sense of a businesswoman?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like, I feel like, so first of all, if you say you're a TikToker to anyone, I think they just assume that you dance, and that's fine if you do. But that is not me. So I think people just assume you're probably like thick or whatever. So I think it's a bit difficult, especially like now I'm kind of getting my name out there. But to start with, I don't think people really wanted to work with me, especially as I was so crude. Like, my stuff at the beginning was so out of pocket that people were just like, you were not brand safe.
Because I think I remember the first TikTok I've seen of yours was how many shots would it take to go through the England squad?
Not many as well, actually, which is really embarrassing. I would just do it under one shot. But no, yeah, that was... Oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was... when was that? During the World Cup or Euros or something.
Last year.
That was... I didn't even watch it, so I don't know why I did that. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so like... because. I know a lot of your followers will know that you're at uni because you make a lot of TikToks that are associated to university.
I'm always hungover.
Student life. Mm. You might as well spend that $9,000 very well.
Exactly.
But obviously, I mean, I didn't know. And I think I struggled to find like what you actually studied at uni. And it wasn't until I asked like people in management like what you study. Mm. And obviously, it was media, isn't it?
So I started off with my undergrad doing filmmaking, which really, because I did like film and TV or whatever, because originally I wanted to go into like film production or like being behind the camera on TV. And then Corona hit just as I was in my third year and I was like, I can't leave yet. I'm not ready. I need to drink a bit more. So I decided to do a master's in digital marketing. And I do not know what I thought a master's would be like, but it was not that. It was so difficult.
Because I remember, like, reading about you again, you were saying that, you know, you kind of put your eggs in one basket in terms of TikTok and probably didn't focus as much in your third year as you could or should have done.
Yeah.
So then it, like, it's like, why? How come you decided that going to a master's would be the right thing if you felt like your TikTok career was taking off enough for you to not focus
on your third
year?
Do you know what's weird? I'm getting better results this year in my master's than I was in my undergrad, but I'm busier now. So I don't know how that works. I don't know what the science is behind it, but I think it's just because with the undergrad, I just think I was like, I wasn't really taking it very seriously. And I was just kind of there to like party or whatever. But I think for my master's, I was a bit more like, because I just thought having a degree in filmmaking is not going to get me anywhere. Realistically, like, I didn't really feel like it was going to get me anywhere, so I thought I needed a master's to like really secure that deal. And then I just really blew up on TikTok, so I was just like, right.
So I know one of the things that you've spoken about is a bit of a fear, because you can be quite crude, and as how you put it, was not brand safe. Talking about cancel culture and the fear of being cancelled, because
that's
when you are
me.
A creator,
yeah,
you are putting all your eggs into the basket of your followers and the brands that commercially support you.
Yeah.
So if you're cancelled, kind of your whole life feels like it's going
this
down the pan.
It's a big one, because I know one day it's going to happen to me. Like, I'm not stupid. It happens to everyone. I know it's going to happen. Whether it's something like that actually I deserve to be cancelled over, or something people have really taken out of context or whatever, I know it's going to happen. It's happened to my friends. But it is so stressful. That's the only thing I ever worry about. Genuinely, because it's like intense. Like, my friend Max got, he won't mind me saying this, but when he was getting stuff on Twitter, there was just thousands of tweets of people being really horrible about him, and I could not deal with that. I'd set myself on fire.
It's very extreme.
Yeah.
So how would, obviously with your content, because it is quite crude and quite out there, does that ever make you want to change the direction in which your content goes in?
No, so the only thing that's changed is when I first joined my management, our management, can I say that? Our management. they were like, there's a few things that you need to, maybe just hold back on a little bit. Don't go as extreme. But that's it. Like, I'm definitely just more aware of what I say, but I wouldn't say I've changed my content. I used to do skits and stuff, but I kind of stopped that just because I was too busy to do it, not because they were controversial, even though they were. But yeah, I'd say my content stayed pretty much the same.
So I know I always thought that maybe your content was branching away a little bit because you were doing more deals. I did see a thing with Amazon and James May and Cheese.
Yeah, my favourite. Very random. Yeah. I don't know if it's branching away. I just feel like it's more... When I first started, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Like, I remember... just kind of doing, so I did like random beauty stuff, or I do skits, or I do like story times. Then I found my story times would do well. And then I just sort of thought, I feel like I could do presenting. So I kind of did a few more of my like TikToks to go towards presenting, but it kind of helped in my favor that now companies are looking to TikTokers over YouTubers to like do certain stuff because I think they want to branch out to a bigger audience. So it's just lucky that I had a certain amount of following where I think maybe they reached out to me. I think it just purely is luck, but I enjoy it, but I don't know if it's all
I think
down to me.
One thing that people really underestimate about social media, especially TikTokers, they think it's really easy.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you just, like, it's like what people used to think about people that did Instagram. You just post a pretty picture or you just post like a really quick video.
Get me fucking started on this. Get me started on this. This pisses me off. And my, can I out him? I'll do it. My boyfriend fucking says this as well. He goes, oh, what? You just post a few videos a day. And it's just like, people have a job. You work 9 to 5 and you, as soon as you finish at 5, you finish at 5. We don't finish at a certain time. Like, I can't say your name, can I? I know, it's like word vomit. Hannah will like randomly message me at certain points, or like I'll get things done where it's like, you need to do this today, you need to do it ASAP, you need blah, blah. And you're constantly having to keep up with what's going on, like to do a video on it, because I know that will go viral. Constantly stressing about the amount of followers or like whatever. It's just hell in there.
I think there's a lot of numbers involved in it as well, isn't
there?
Like you have to look at your trends, what's done well, what's not done well. And I think people don't really, like, being creative, I think, is harder. Like, now I've left what I used to do and do the, like, social media.
It's harder to come up. People just think, like, this is, again, like, when people say, oh, blah, blah. But it's like, I have to think of something new to post that I haven't posted in the 2 years that I've been on this app. There's only so much shit that I can talk about until I'm like, what else? So I'm constantly having to think of new things to come up with, blah, blah. And it's just the creative bones. It's very stressful. They're creaking. It's very stressful.
Do you ever get worried that you're going to run out of content, or
100%.
Are you just going to keep doing stupid shit to like
know
get content?
I'm going
to
dry up at some point. And when that day comes, I hope I've married my boyfriend and I hope we've won the lottery so we can just retire, because
I don't know your boyfriend's name, but no pressure there then.
Yeah, no, he keep buying those Lotto Millions. You know,
so
yeah.
Talking about creative juices flowing, saving grace. Congratulations, 100,000 subscribers as of, I'm going to say today, but it was probably a long time ago. You got your plaque from YouTube.
Got my plaque.
How did that saving grace come about?
So first of all, my management, this is like a management plug, but it's like they kept saying, you really need a podcast. And I was like, I don't know if like I'm made for that really. I don't know if that will really do anything. And then I went on the Fellas podcast. And they just basically, I think I was so vulgar, they were like, you just need your own. They wanted to basically take me on underneath the Fellas studios. So they built my set. I made it clear that I wanted to drink on it. I wanted to be vulgar. I wanted to just basically have it be my own. They were fine with it.
Create
the headlines, get myself a blue tick. Still doesn't happen, by the way.
Not even on TikTok?
Sort that out. TikTok's the hardest one to get one for. Yeah, but I ever since this headline stuff, I've been sending it to people being like, blue tick, quick. And they still haven't done it.
I love that. You've got the number one podcast in the UK, but the priority
blue tick. It's the blue tick. I'm sick of it. But yeah, that's how the podcast happened.
Like, how does it feel to know that your podcast is number one? Not even just in comedy, but like number one in the UK.
I am the worst person to ask this to, because I never actually realised like what it means. Like the other day, I was in Wembley and I was like, fucking hell, there's loads of people in here. What's like 3 million in here? And they were like, no, it's literally 25,000 or something like that. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, that's a lot of people. And I've got like 2 million. So like, imagine all of those people in a room. I can never think about, does this make sense? I can never think about what that means in my head. Does that make sense?
As if you were standing in a room with that many people.
I can never rationalize it until I see it. So when someone was like, you've got the number one podcast, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And then I went to the podcast awards and then I saw all of these podcast people and I was like, oh, like these are ops and I've beat them. So I kind of was like, okay, that kind of puts it into perspective.
This is going to like, I feel like I'm really old now and I'm like, what the hell is ops?
Like a friend of an op is an op. Like,
because that's really helped, thank you.
Like, they're like competition, they're an op.
Okay, wow, I really showed my age.
We're ops.
Are we?
Kind of. Friendly ops.
Well, when we get our boxing match, maybe. I've been training. I'm going to let you know that. I heard Alex Wasabi pulled out of the KSI fight. Maybe we should get in.
We should. Yeah, yeah. I'm ready.
So when you rationalise the amount of people that follow you or the amount of listeners you have on Saving Grace, do you ever wonder what you would be doing if you didn't have the platform you've got?
I think I would still be a Costa and I would not know what to have done after uni, because I'm the type of person in my life, I have never ever known what I wanted to do. And I was really bad at school. Like, I got like no GCSEs. I got English and drama. So what the fuck's that going to do for me? And then I went to sixth form. I went to like a reject college, literally got like, I kind of worked my way up so I could get into uni, but again, I wouldn't have known where I would have gone. So I think this is kind of a blessing. I'm glad it happened, because genuinely, it's what it's like anyone. I feel like, does anyone know what they want to do at 22 when they leave uni, realistically, unless you are one of those people that know?
Yeah, really narrowed it down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unless you're like a paramedic, then you're like, I know I want to be a paramedic.
The thing is, even though you claim that, you know, you went to a reject college.
I did. Cambridge Reject College, big up.
You know, actually, when I have had serious conversations with you, they are far and few in between. yeah. When I have had them, it's, I actually think probably out of a lot of people that I've met in this industry, you probably are one of the most like business savvy people out there. You've openly like said to me, you know, you're not very flashy. You don't spend money on outrageous things.
Save that shit.
Yeah, but then that's a very like, you know, people might underestimate you in that sense, because TikTokers do make good money, especially with the deals that you've been getting. Mm-hmm. But like, and you don't spend your flashy money. So like, do you have plans about what you're going to do?
I just think I'm very aware that social media is something that could so easily go, or like people have a sell by date. Like, I've seen people that were so big when I was growing up, now no one really gives a shit about. So it's like, I feel like I've got to make all my money now and invest it. And then like, because I was thinking, well, if I get all this money, save it, because now I'm out of uni, I can like properly save, so I'm not spending it on stupid shit. Save it, like buy a house, rent it out, like after I've done it up, and then go from there, because at least I've got my finger in a pie. Whereas like, if I'm just on TikTok, like what, I've probably got a lifespan of maybe a year, 2 more years, I'd say. In TikTok. No, I do think that.
No,
I know everyone
I don't.
Shakes their head, but I do think I've got a lifespan of about 2 years.
No, because then you would just move on to
it's
like
short.
The next thing, surely. If TikTok goes, like, I don't think you'd be dried up. I think you would just move on to the next thing. Like, I could see you having like your own talk show on like Amazon or something like that.
Yeah, true. I'd like a little Alan Carr sector. Do you know what I mean?
Or
I
with
could
the
be
dogs.
The next. Yeah, like chatty man, but
more vulgar.
Fat pussy woman. Like, I could do that. I could do that, but I don't know. I think I'm too vulgar for TV. That's my only issue.
I don't think so. We've let Piers Morgan onto TV.
I mean, if that fucking man could be on there, so can I.
Well, if he's not dried up, I think you'd be all right, to be honest. But then, like,
I'll live forever. Fine. I'll roam these streets.
Sorry, with all those savings, you can buy all the Botox you're going to need.
Yeah,
just freeze you. So then you're the same person for the rest of your life. But, like, you know, so if, like, genuinely, what would you want to do? If TikTok was to die tomorrow, what do you think you would want to go on to do?
I love my podcast. I definitely still carry on doing that. But I think I'd love to do some sort of presenting. Like, I've always had like a dream of having my own show, doing like GK Barry, and just does loads of shit I'm scared of doing, because I know that would make great TV, because I'm a massive pussy. I don't know. I just want to do something TV-wise. I want to move on to that.
Have you ever thought about Big Brother's coming up?
I'm fucking on it.
Have you sent your application in?
No, I'm going to get Hannah to do that now.
Right this second.
I swear to God.
Stop the recording.
If I do not get on, I know I would thrive on that show. I was born for Big Brother. I'm telling you, that's my only, I'll die
because you can
that,
be
fine.
Vulgar on Big Brother.
Yeah. You can, I mean, for God's sake, you can have sex in a bath on Big Brother. Like, I wouldn't do that.
Because, not because your boyfriend's watching.
Yeah, no, unless he's in the house with me. No, but like you can do, I just feel like it's, but the thing is now with shows, you can't do anything because like Ofcom and shit. Well, so you can't even smoke. Yeah, you would know.
I would know.
Can't even smoke. What's the point? I don't even smoke, but if I want a fag after a stressful day, I'll have one.
I feel like I've touched a nerve.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, I'll smoke.
Don't smoke, but I really want to. Yeah. Yeah, well, I've got foundation on the mic.
Apparently so.
No, well, to be fair, do you know what I think you would be really good at, really ironically?
Tell me.
Antiques Roadshow are doing a celebrity version.
Are you on crack?
I think it'd be fucking hilarious.
I think I've watched that show once when I was off school ill.
It must have been a really slow
day. So I don't... Yeah. I don't know what you actually have to do on that show. I'll do it, though. I've got a few old rings.
No, you don't have to bring your own shit.
I've got some Reeboks from a few years ago. I'll be all right.
No, you go and buy shit.
Oh.
And then you take it to auction, don't you?
Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
Celebrity
know that.
Antiques Roadshow, okay, GK Bazaar edition.
I'm on it. That and Celeb Bake Off, get me on.
See, why are you worried about TikTok running out? You've got loads of options.
I make a banging Vicky sponge. I don't. I've never made one in my life.
I can't imagine you cooking. No, I'm not going to lie.
I can't. We'll pot noodles.
Sick. Stay away from me. I really regret having you as a guest
I'm
now.
I'm getting diabetes.
We'll leave the cooking to Faye.
Yeah.
But I did 9 to 5 and uni and I found that ridiculously stressful. And obviously now knowing what this industry is like and how like, you know, I'm in the bath at 6 a.m. and I'm thinking, well, I'm not in the bath.
Yeah,
I'm in the shower
well
at 6 a.m.
early. What is wrong with you?
I don't have enough hours in the day. There's only 24. I like will start voice noting people at 5 in the morning, sorry Hannah, in the shower. So like I don't even like, I can't even comprehend being able to do a job that's 24/7 plus actually being at uni full time, because I wasn't.
So I'd miss like an occasional day or two of lessons and they'd be like, work is not an excuse, you can't miss uni. And I'd explain, I'm like, this isn't like a part-time job, like this is actually like my career, like this is the fucking side hustle, do you know what I mean? And they'd be still be like, it's unacceptable, blah, blah. And I'd literally, I think I got marked down in a module because I missed two lessons, like a full marked down. And I was like, what the fuck?
God, Nottingham Trent, fix up.
Nottingham Trent, literally my ass. No, I had a great time. I had a great
time. Wait till you get your masters before you tell them to.
No, I'm sorry, yeah. Wait till December. But no, it was actually very stressful doing that.
I can imagine. Do you feel like maybe your lectures treated you differently as well because of what you were doing?
Most of them didn't know until I would never bring this up, right? It would always be someone like on my table that like this guy on my table once went, well, Grace is an influencer, so she can tell you about, because I do digital marketing, obviously. So a lot of it would kind of be what I was doing. But I don't think so. But a lot of them wouldn't even, I don't think, see me differently. They just expect me to get on with it. Like, and I think maybe, in my opinion, I feel like maybe they'd look at me worse in a way, because it's more like, all right, you're still doing the course though. I don't know. I feel like that's in my mind, but I don't know. No one ever treated me differently apart from some teachers were proper assholes, but it was just stressful. Like I would having to be in London, especially now I'm in London a lot, and then I'd have to go home, like on the train home at like 10 p.m. writing like a 4,000 word report.
After however many glasses of Prosecco.
Always after glasses of Prosecco. I am shocked I've passed this course. I am shocked.
Did you ever feel like Kim Kardashian when she went back to law school?
Yeah, I feel like Kim Kardashian, but like I look like if she'd had an addiction somewhere along the line.
Oh, good. It's really great.
So, yeah, but I'm still here for it.
But like, so as well as managing TikTok fame, like this is something that I know people have experienced off the back of leaving Love Island. Like if you are single, trying to, like, as you know, you were how old when you started TikTok? Like, I'm going to say 20.
20.
So, you know, trying to find relationships and love and trying to like navigate through that when you're famous or online famous or whatever
this
you want to call
it.
This
was the whole thing, because I had like, once I started getting well known, I had ex-boyfriends trying to come back to me.
No.
Yeah, your fucking time is gone, my love. Ex-boyfriends come up to me, but a few occasions where I'd be in the club, and listen, I'm at uni, like obviously I'm kissing people, whatever, like after a few vodka cranberries, I'll do it. But then they'd be, I got with this guy and I was like, oh, he's really nice, really likes me, whatever. Then I heard him show his phone to his mates and he went, she's got loads of fucking followers. And I've had people I've slept with in first year use me as like their pickup line. Like, do you know GK Barry? Slept with her.
That's such a weird pickup line. If I was a girl and somebody used that, I'd be like,
and also,
well, I am a girl, but
you can't all use it. People are going to start thinking you're lying. Do you know what I mean?
Or they're going to start thinking worse about you.
Yeah, great point, Sharon. Great point.
I'm sorry.
But it's just, it's very weird. I'm lucky, like, now, he didn't know who I was before I met him. So I was like, that was a good thing. But, yeah, I don't. But then sometimes you think, would you rather date someone in the public eye? No. Because it's, I feel like, I don't know if you can relate, but it's like sometimes worse if they're in the public eye as well. Because there's so much more
pressure
and distraction.
Yeah.
Like, especially in this industry, there's all these girls that they would that know about them. And it's just, I don't know, very toxic vibes.
So do you find it like hard to manage all of your professional commitments, your university commitments, and then your partner and your family?
Luckily, now I've finished uni, that's fine. I think if I was still full-time at uni, definitely. Because I'm always in London. Luckily, he lives in London, so it kind of goes hand in hand.
Saves that hotel bill.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you. But I think, yeah, I definitely... It's difficult because you want to see your family all the time, but it's also like you're busy. But then it's like, my parents are going to die soon.
Oh, God. Okay. Touch wood, maybe not.
No, but not in that way. They're not going to be here forever. I need to spend time with them.
What do your family feel about like your career? Because I, you know, from my perspective, my dad was stood in my garden yelling at me, going, "What the hell are you doing with your life? Because you've worked so hard for however many years." Like, what do your parents think? Do your parents like wish, "Oh, Grace, I wish you'd grow up and get a 9-to-5"? Like,
well, so when I first started, my parents did not understand. They were literally like, "What?" Like, they did not understand it. They did not have a clue what I was doing. They were like, this isn't going to make you money. And then I started making money and then I quit my job and they were like, you better hope so much money comes in to make it worth the fact that you quit your job. They thought it was an awful idea when I quit. They were like, this isn't good, blah, blah, questioning everything. And then they started seeing me kind of like, they'd be scrolling through stuff and they'd just see me pop up or like they'd, I don't know, I'd just appear randomly or people would go up to my mum being like, oh my God, your mother, Barry. Like, and I think it sunk into them a little bit when I started making money that this was like a normal thing. And now they love it. Like, I think they're really supportive of what I do. And my mum is a bit too supportive. Like, she will literally tell everyone, she's going shopping, they're scanning bags and she's going, you had a GK, Barry, you got TikTok, get that up quick. I'll do it before you finish scanning. Or like my granddad died. The police came round, obviously, apparently suspicious death. He was 95, work that out. and the police were like doing all the, you know,
the reports and stuff, yeah.
And she went, shall we put on my daughter's podcast? It's Saving Grace, by the way. You can watch it on Apple, Spotify and
maybe
YouTube.
We should get Mama Barry a t-shirt my daughter is GK Barry.
My mum literally fucking loves it.
I mean, I guess you can find humour in everything.
Yeah, may you rest.
I don't know if that's a trauma response, but you know. we'll move on. But it's weird. It's one of those things. I feel like even when you get into serious situations, do you always worry that people just think of you as GK Barry?
Yeah, and I found that a lot with friends now. Like, I'm very wary of... It's more, I never notice it. I was literally having this conversation like about an hour ago. You never know if people are trying to be friends with you for the right reasons. Like, if they're trying to be friends with you because they like you or if they can benefit or if they can get tea out of you. Like, especially at uni, because I lived in a house of six, so we'd get invited to parties. And if I wasn't there, people would go up to my flatmates, be really rude to them and be like, where's Grace? And clearly the invite was there because of me. But,
yeah.
But like, how would you know that? It was just, I don't know, or people would just be really rude. Like, they'd shove my friends away to come and speak to me. And I'd be like, this is just not the normal way to act. Like, this is not how to become friends with me. If you want to become friends with me, be nice to my friends.
Do you ever feel isolated or lonely because of something like that?
There was a weird time during this year. I feel like it had to have been February or March or something, where there was a point where I was getting recognised like a lot in Nottingham, because obviously everyone knows I go to Nottingham Uni, so yeah. I was quite like a bait person at that uni. But it got to a point when I'd leave, like people would be really weird, like they'd shout my name, but like they wouldn't come up to me. It wouldn't be like a night, like I would never mind if people come up to me, but they'd like shout at me on the street or like be like, oh my God, that's GK Barrett, or like just say really kind of rude comments. And there was a time where I was literally like, I don't even want to leave the house. Like I went to a house party, which is something like every uni student does.
Yeah.
And I went there and someone put my TikToks on the speaker in front of everyone.
I remember hearing about
this.
Yeah,
and I was literally fucking mortified. Like, I was so embarrassed. I was like, what a muggy thing to do.
And I think that's another thing that people don't realise that comes with, like, online success and, like, fame, if that's what you want to call it. Mm. That, you know, you have all of these people watching you on your platform, but then also, you know, you don't know who to trust in the real world. But then, you know, you feel like you have all these people, but then you feel isolated and when you're talking to people in real life.
And all these people think they know you because obviously they watch me on my TikTok and I talk about everything pretty much on there. But GK Barry is very much like a character. Not a character, it's like an emphasized, is that the right word? Emphasized version of me. Like, it's like a lot of TikTokers, if you're in a room with us, just us, we're not like that. We're actually, believe it or not, we're actually very calm and normal. So it's always played up to the cameras a bit. And I think when people come up to me, they expect me to be this like massive, like
caricature of yourself.
Like fucking cockney guy. And I'm just not. It's just fucking emphasizes the story times a bit.
Yeah, because I mean, this is the thing, like with social media, it's, you know, TikTok only goes to about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And not 20, I don't even know how old you are, 23 years?
Spot on.
Oh, good guess.
On Friday, yeah.
I'm disgusted by the fact you're a 99 baby. You're closer to 2000 than...
90s baby. I'm clinging on by a thread.
Yeah,
though.
Literally hanging by a thread. It makes me feel really... Because I mean, I'm already going to get judged being old. Now, because I've already asked you what an op is.
An op, yeah, no, it's true. You're showing your age now.
As if I need any more people. I need to give anybody a reason to call me a Tory.
No, she's not a Tory. I can vouch for this. I keep rubbing my chin on this.
Yeah, I've put my mouth on this, like literally on this microphone so many times.
You can eat it a lot.
You can tell it's been a while. So I know when you were talking about your followers and people automatically assuming when they meet you in the street that they're all going to be like this caricature version of yourself. You know, after we did our episode of Saving Grace and we got the train back into central London, you know, you got stopped by a fan.
Yeah.
Which was like really nice to see. But then I kind of felt like you'd change from Grace to GK Barry as soon as you met someone. Yeah. And do you feel like you have to do that when you meet a fan?
Yeah, because I feel like, well, there's been a few occasions. When I'm drunk as well, I go really posh. I don't know what my problem is, but
maybe
I go...
you are posh?
Yeah, you are. But like... I don't know what it is. Drink just makes me go like Joanna Lumley. And then on nights out when people meet me, they're like, oh, GK Barry. And I'll speak to them. And they're like, you're a fraud. Or like, I've looked on Tattle before. Fuck you, Tattle, by the way. I've looked on Tattle and it's like, I'm a commoner. I'm working class and she's fake. She's doing it for views. She's doing it for money. And I'm literally like, what? Like, I just feel like... sometimes a bit of pressure to prove that I am actually
a normal person,
working class and like normal, like it's not actually a front.
It's weird you to bring Tattle up because obviously everybody that's in the public eye is probably on Tattle.
Literally something.
And it's the worst place to ever be. Like you should never ever look yourself up on
but
it.
But it's hard not to. I've
managed so long so far not to because I can imagine what it's going to be like. But actually I looked on... feet. No, I didn't look for you on Tattle, but when I googled you, Tattle did come up. But you know, actually, I didn't see any negative stuff about you. It was just people saying they don't like you, but that's just normal.
I've only had literally within the past 2 months have I had a Tattle page made about me. But in my eyes, that's how I know I've made it. So I'm like, fine. But it's more
that
like
and get called catfish by the Daily Mail.
Yeah, fuck you, Daily Mail as well. Can I put that in?
Yeah, fuck it, why not?
Late.
It's done now.
Yeah, they piss me off. But again, it's like newspapers like that. It's just like, do you have nothing better to write about other than girls' tits or wearing a flashy dress? Like,
but that's the thing about being a woman, right? Is that they will write these articles about you. Because how many of your male TikToker friends that you know have similar articles written about them?
Nothing.
You know, I've never seen an article about a male Love Islander calling them a catfish.
Yeah, never. Or like, I feel like the girls get worse stick. Although the only people I would say got pretty bad stick is like normal looking men. Because they're quite like, they're not... this is what, compared to like, say, Jay looks like a fucking chiseled god. And like, there's just normal people in there as well. So obviously they'd get more stick. Not there's anything wrong with that, but they would just in general get more stick. But then I feel like women just get a whole lot worse. Like, we get our, not just our bodies, but like our face, everything, our arses, God forbid. I've been there.
And also, it's about how many men find you attractive. Even if you don't necessarily swing that way or part of that
tribe. It's
just
so fucking boring. Most of you don't brush your teeth, don't wash your balls, don't wash the bottoms of your legs, but you have the cheek.
Bottoms of your legs?
Yeah, they don't wash their legs. And if they don't use a loafer.
A loafer, a shoe.
A loofah. What's it called? A puff. I call it a loofah.
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 Yeah. Loafer's a shoe.
Listen,
it's all right.
I'm not helping this business podcast. do you know what I mean? Like the cheek of some of these people to judge us when they are probably missing teeth as well. Fuck you.
And do you know what, actually? I think that's one of the things that I found the hardest. And I don't know if you can relate to that as well.
Yeah.
Is that people automatically assume because you get rejected or certain people don't find you desirable, you must be clapped. But actually, what if you don't want them? And I feel like that's a female problem as opposed to like a societal problem.
But it's also like beauty standards change so much. So like, I just feel like you can never be upset. This is what I think about. Because I remember when I was younger, I am young, but when I was at school, the trend was to be stick thin, thigh gap, no ass. I was
no boobs.
But I was in my fucking element at school. That was me at school. And then it changed to like BBLs, slim thick, and it's like, oh, you know, it just, there's so many beauty things that it's like you're gonna feel shit at some point and you're gonna be told you're ugly at some point, but in the next 10 years I'll probably be seen as fit again. That's how I think of it.
I mean, at least you know your time is coming.
My time is coming.
Whereas
flat ass is coming.
My time's
back.
Already run out. But it's
it's been great. Been really good.
In that sense, how do you find, because obviously, you know, we've all had times in our teenage years where a boy has called us ugly. Obviously, when you're in the public eye, it's amplified, it's done in a public setting for everyone to see. How does that make you feel?
Oh my God, there was a stage. I actually don't really get touch fucking wood. Is there any wood in there? Not even wood. I used to, I don't really get hate that much anymore.
Yeah.
And I know I've jinxed that. I'm just whatever now. But when I first started, used to get so much stick about my nose and just my face being ugly and like me having a flat ass. And it got to the point where I was literally like, I'm going to get this done to my face. I'm going to get this done to my face. I'm going to get a fucking BBL. And then I literally had to sit down with my manager and she was literally like, do not get any filler. Do not get anything. Because the reason people like you is because you're just natural and like, yeah, like you're, and I think it's true because when I go to these events, a lot of the people there, and this isn't like a dig, like they're all stunning, but a lot of them all look the same and like all look very similar, like but it can be very toxic because you go there and you think this is what I should look like because this is what pretty is because all these girls are Instagram girls. But then, do you know what? A lot of them have personalities like a dry sock. So I will fucking stick with my big nose because I feel like people need that. I feel like if I was younger, I wish I had someone with who was just normal. Yeah, because no one was really normal.
I always think maybe people look the same because, do you know what I found this? And I don't know if you've had this as well. I get at least one email a week, if not more, from a Turkish plastic surgeon offering free teeth, free BBLs.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe like you've had the same and then you're tempted because you're getting trolled for a certain thing. And you're like, well, because you're getting trolled for a certain thing and someone's offering it to you on a plate.
Yeah, and it's when you become like a creator or whatever, you get all this stuff for free. I even got a message this morning of this girl being like, if you want any fillers, whatever, I can do it for free. And it's just so tempting because it's like, well, if it's free, why not? But it's also like, but I come from a family that's very like, my parents would kill me if I ever got anything done anyway. So, but I also feel like I've got my mum's nose. So I kind of want to, you know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with your nose, but you know, I get that because obviously I've done the whole 360 like filler, not filler thing. And first of all, if anyone's actually listening, if we haven't cut this bit out, free filler is stupid idea. Never do it.
She can't complain because it's free.
But then, there's just so much wrong with that. Like, you're not allowed to advertise specific things on Instagram. So then why all of a sudden you're giving it out for free?
Yeah.
And also, like, some people's prices are ridiculous. Like, how are you even... Like, my friend couldn't even buy the product for that price. And they're dishing it out like Skittles.
That's mental.
And do you know what, actually? I think when you are more comfortable with yourself in the public eye and how you look, no one can say anything to hurt you.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember coming out of Love Island and people saying, oh, your lips, you're this, you're that. And I got more and more insecure because I'd had these things tweaked because I was insecure. And now I've had them all removed.
Yeah.
If you said that to me, I'd be like, well, suck your mum.
But that's the thing as well with Love Island. It's very like, I think people think that they can say anything because they don't think you'll see it.
Do you think that with TikTok though? Because you've got more followers on TikTok, so then you're less likely to see it.
I do actually, genuinely. Do you know what's weird? I do think people think I will never see what they say, but I have a weird thing where I go through all my comments.
Yeah.
Like, I will spend hours just being like... But I sometimes, if a video is going really viral, I make the conscious effort not to go through the comments, especially if it's like a stitch with a guy. Because straight men on Twitter are fucking knobheads. So, yeah,
Andrew
just
Tate army.
Yeah, fuck off, Andrew Tate. He's really doing my nut in. He's raising these little goblins.
Do you know what I want to know, Andrew Tate? How does it feel for my podcast to be ahead of yours and I'm not paying you 80% of any of the money I make?
Yeah, Andrew Tate. How does that feel?
What colour is your Bugatti now? No, I'm joking.
Suck me nips. I don't know, I just don't say it.
No, you don't want to. His brother's fit, though.
Really? Anyway. I'll take him.
They are the same person.
Oh,
so
never mind.
He's just the better looking version.
I'll take it.
But, you know, actually, one thing that I found really helpful on TikTok is word filter.
I've heard
Do
about
you
this.
Do you use this?
No, but my friend did. They were getting cancelled. She filtered loads of words and it really helped. But the thing is, I'm just this person that I should not look, but I will. I like to see it. I don't like to see it because it upsets me, but I have to see it.
You have to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when people go, I'm about to tattle, don't look. And automatically I'm like, I have to look. Like, I literally have to. Daily Mail, that Daily Mail article, I was like, do you know what? The worst thing you could do right now is go
Read
through
the comments.
And I just went straight there and I was like, I'm an ugly ogre. And then I was like, his name is Brexit123. So
says it all.
Yeah, I was like, never mind.
But like, no, I think that's the thing, is that you're constantly told not to read the comments, but sometimes it's just impossible.
I'm sorry anyone would. And you can all say just don't read the comments until you're in this position. You can't say that because you want to know. Obviously sometimes I need humbling, so I will look at my hate comments.
I don't think you need humbling.
When I'm getting too big for my boots, I'm like, someone call me an ugly bitch. And I'm like, okay, fine.
I mean, earlier you did say $2,000 for a card holder. So I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I don't know what this girl is spending her money on. I don't know what she's
doing. I didn't buy it, by the way.
Now I feel like when I'm going to ask a politician if they know what a loaf of bread costs.
Yeah.
But I won't do that because I don't think I know, actually.
I don't think I know, yeah.
But obviously, we've spoken about how you're very careful. You count your pennies. You obviously don't buy anything flashy because you thought a card holder would be $2,000.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to know how you carry your shit around. But
I just have never bought anything designer. But then, so I had no clue.
So then what are your plans financially? Like, I feel like this is a very like personal question.
No,
but like, you know,
love that.
Now you've finished uni, move into London.
Yeah, so do you know what it is? Also, that bag's fake, just to quickly clarify that.
I can tell because of the colour difference to mine.
Oh my God, it's so true. It's my mum's as well. It's been worn. I'm in London constantly now. And do you know what? I was one of those people, I was like, I'll never move to London. It's a fucking waste of money. Here I am. So
I feel like it's a rite of passage.
It's true. Well, if you earn the right to be here, I'm here. So fuck it. But I'm going to move to London, definitely. I don't know where. I don't want to rent, though. That's my only thing.
Mm.
I don't want to rent because I genuinely feel like that is like wiping my ass with my hard-earned money and then flushing it down the toilet. So I'm just going to... I've saved so much money and then I'm just going to buy.
I've never heard anyone refer to the housing market as wiping their own arse.
And I think that's a good analogy.
Have you ever considered cancelling your Netflix subscription?
My dad pays for it.
Oh, okay.
So that's
maybe
why
your dad should cancel your
money.
Netflix subscription.
Yeah. No, honestly. But it's a hard, like, I was thinking of getting rid of my car anyway, because you don't need a car in London. I feel like, do you know what it is? I've noticed a lot of people, this is what I've noticed in this industry, a lot of people like to make it look like they have money. The people that look like they have the most money have the least money.
Yeah.
If you're seeing someone with like a Lamborghini, I'm not talking about HS Tiki Dior, I don't know how much money he has, but like if you see someone with a Lamborghini, like Prada bags through and through, like blah, blah, they usually have, excuse me, do you have a Prada bag and a Lamborghini?
No, I don't have a Lamborghini.
You do?
No, I don't have a Lamborghini.
Oh my God, I was like, shit, sorry, yeah, Sharon. But do you
put
know what I mean?
Put salt in my wounds, why don't you, Grace?
Sorry, but like, if they have loads of flashy shit, if their Instagram's just flashy shit, I guarantee you they don't have as much money as you think. And it's that quote, rich people stay rich by not spending their money.
That famous saying.
I think I butched that. But you can never tell rich persons. It's like Adam Sandler.
Was it Wealth Whispers? That's money it. Talks.
Yeah, that sounds a lot better. It's like Adam Sandler wears the same fucking like long baggy shorts and gross t-shirts, but he literally has so much money you'd never guess it.
That's true, actually. Like, and I think that's one thing that people don't really understand about this industry is that people are just flashy for the likes and stuff. And I think it's so unnecessary because, you know, like I did all right for myself before any social media, and I'd be fine tomorrow if it disappeared. But I constantly get asked, what's the biggest thing you've bought since you've left Love Island? And I sat there for ages. I'm like, I don't actually think I've bought anything.
Yeah, I can't think either. I think it's more, I'd like to do something with my money that actually like more for maybe for my parents, so cliche, but I would like to do like a lot for my parents because they've had to spend so much money on me. Like I'd at least like to be able to pay off their mortgage or like buy them a little holiday home that they can go to or something like that. Or just like nice things. Like my mum the other day, she was like, oh, I like this. I was like, I'll get it for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's are you like an nice only child?
No, I've got three siblings.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking if you're Asian, there'll be a lot of pressure on you now.
Yeah, no, I haven't really got that much pressure on me.
Because my mum looks at my like stuff and that Prada hammer. She'll be like, I really like this. And she'll be like trying to walk out the house with it. I'm like, come back here. Excuse me, I'm not rich yet.
That's why
come
all
back.
Of my designer bags are fake. She can have them. Cheers.
So the final question that I'm going to ask you, mm-hmm. and then you can stop sweating out of every pore of your body.
I appreciate that.
Basically, I'm going to ask this to every future guest, but I want to know what you would say to somebody who doubts you and your future success because you are a woman.
I would say, and I've always said this, like, do you remember boys at school would be like, girls aren't funny. You're not funny because you're a girl. Like, it was just a thing that girls weren't funny. And I'd just say, like, look at the women that have paved this way already. Like, all of the committee, like even Miranda, Joanna Lumley, absolutely fabulous, like shows like that. Amelia Dimms even as like a modern like person. There's been so many women to pave the way for female comedians and it's only going to continue. If anything, it's going to get more as well. So I would say women are funny. You're not funny. Your balls stink. Focus on yourself. Can I put that in?
Mic drop?
Yeah.
They're attached to the table.
Thank
but
you.
I think that was a
me
mic drop.
Me and Joanna Lumley walking off into the sunset together as funny women.
If not, you could always send them screenshots of the stats of your mid-podcast.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And then I'll be like, what podcast is your on? What? What is your podcast on? I've had so much Prosecco now. I don't know what I'm talking about. I haven't. I've had two glasses.
She's got diabetes.
I'm chatting shit.
We'll leave it there. Before you do say something that will cancel you because I don't want to be in charge of that.
God bless.
No, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I would cheers you, but I've got really bad pit stains because it's so
I
hot
will
in here.
Just cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on my podcast.
It's been a pleasure.
It's not been so scary to have a serious conversation for once.
No, I might try it more often.
No, don't do that.
I won't do that.